The Ravens, once again, along with the Bengals, give us another game of the year candidate, as once again, the Ravens outlast the Bengals, this time via two-point conversion failure by the Bengals. Another Burrow and Jamar Chase showcase that once again proves in failure. Along with that, our Week 10 game picks. This is the Fumbaruski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that six or seven spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
This is the Fumbaruski Podcast, powered by Power 88 Dean Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting. And Chris Kostich, Adam Wright, CJ Medeiros. Big Week 10 upon us. But first, we go through the first game of the Week 10 slate. The Ravens beating the Bengals 35-34 in another shootout, which saw the Bengals take a pretty big lead to start things out. And then all of a sudden, the Ravens started to storm back, and they win it 35-34. And on the Ravens side, still looking pretty unstoppable. Defense. Defense. Not good. That defense. There's something about this Ravens defense I do not like. I don't know what it is, but I just don't like it. On the Bengals side, this is the second time in NFL history that a quarterback threw for got 30 completions, over 400 yards, and four touchdowns. And it's Joe Burrow twice this year, both times against the Ravens. And once again, Jamar Chase, 11 catches, 264 yards, and three touchdowns. If you add him in fantasy, 55 fantasy points for him. 55. That's insane. Just putting up those numbers against the same team is insane. Nobody on Baltimore could cover this guy. On the Ravens' offensive side, another pretty much perfect game from Lamar. 25 for 33, four touchdowns, 290 yards. Derrick Henry had a rushing touchdown. Tylan Wallace, 115 yards on three catches. Mark Andrews had a pretty good game with Isaiah Likely out, six catches, 68 yards and a touchdown. Rashad Bateman with six catches and a touchdown. Nelson Agholor, the only catch he had was a touchdown. But the big thing here is Zach Taylor needs to go. He needs to go. Now, I'm not saying that because of the decision to go for two on the last play there or on that two-point conversion after the Bengals had scored to make it a one-point game. It's just this team is better than what their record suggests, and it all starts with Zach Taylor. He's not a leader of men. He's just not really a good coach anymore at this point. Like, there's no reason that you should only have one win at home. There's no reason you should be 1-4 at home. There's no reason you should be 4-6 to begin with. So, yeah, I would say, Zach, I think this Zach Taylor hot seat conversation has been going on for the last few weeks now, but I think it needs to be hammered home at this point. What do you boys think? We lost Adam, so CJ, take it away.
Well, all right then. I guess I don't have a choice in this matter. So, I feel like the Bengals at bare minimum would be above 500 if they did not have a head coach in Zach Taylor, or a head coach like Zach Taylor. Good Lord. I don't know why he is schematically challenged, but it would seem that he is. And it seems like the defense is improving. The offensive line, for some reason, still isn't good or that great, but it's better than it was. You know, that's taking baby steps. Burrow's been playing amazingly. Chase has been playing well. It's like everyone's pulling their own weight except for Zach Taylor. Everybody has to do a little bit extra to drag Zach Taylor's shriveled carcass across the finish line. It's like, you know what? I know Zach Taylor was in a Super Bowl, and I don't care anymore because the NFL is a what-have-you-done-for-me-lately league, and Zach Taylor has not done jack or crap lately. And, oh my God. I mean, look, I feel so bad for Joe Burrow, so much so that I am willing to say that old Zach Taylor is, he's like the old Chargers coach, Brandon Staley. He is this season's Brandon Staley, you know, where the team around him is great, but he is somehow making them to be less the sum of their parts. It's borderline impressive. But once again, you know, if you had Joe Burrow or Ja'Marr Chase in fantasy, then hats off to you. But other than that, Ravens fans, Bengals fans, I'm sorry. Ravens fans, though, what a comeback. See, this is just another reason for Lamar Jackson to be MVP frontrunner. It would be easy for a team, you know, when they're down 21-7 to just fold, especially to a division rival, but not Lamar, not King Henry. Lamar, like you said, four touchdowns, Derrick Henry adding another touchdown on the ground. Everybody, even Tylan Wallace and Nelson Aguilar were getting involved. That's what you want to see from the Ravens. It's always good to grind one out. But in the words of Justin Tucker, not the Ravens kicker, our co-host, and I'm quoting him here, "My brother in Christ, this defense is going to be the death of me." Ravens, aren't you supposed to be the gritty, hard-hitting defensive team? Where's the gritty hard-hittingness? I haven't seen it. And look, don't get me wrong, Justin Madubuike had a great game. He had three sacks. You know, some defenders flying around. But, and you know what's worse than that? Their defensive struggles are going to get worse because, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe I saw a certain guy by the name of Kyle Hamilton go down with a non-contact injury. And we've all been fans of the game long enough to know non-contact injury 9 out of 10 times means your season is over. And as far as the Ravens' defensive struggles, I will say this. I said it last episode, and I feel like it bears repeating. They have not gotten over the loss of their defensive coordinator, Mike McDonald, who, for those who don't know, is now the head coach of the Seahawks. They have not gotten over that, and it is showing. That being said, so long as they have Lamar and Henry, they'll always have a fighting chance. It's just defenses like this, come playoff time, they can cost you games.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate because we were talking about this earlier today, saying how this could potentially be the second time in NFL history that a quarterback throws for over 40 touchdowns and misses the playoffs, the first time being Dan Marino in 1986. And, oh boy, if it gets to that, we are on the fast track to Joe Burrow having the career path of Dan Marino and never touching a Super Bowl ever again.
You stole my stat.
Yeah. Well, and the only difference is that Dan Marino had Don Shula for basically the entirety of his career. It was the entirety of his career, actually. Mm-hmm. And Joe Burrow has Zach Taylor.
Yeah. I tried desperately today to find quarterbacks to have that caliber of a season and miss the playoffs. And the only one was Dan Marino. And we've had some pretty good quarterback seasons. A lot of people are starting to compare this sort of career to not just the likes of Andrew Luck, which there are some parallels to be drawn. At least whenever Andrew Luck was playing a full season, they made the playoffs. Right now, this is even worse than Matthew Stafford. Because when Matthew Stafford also had good seasons like this, when he threw both times that he has thrown for 40 or more touchdown passes, he made the playoffs. One of those years, he literally won the Super Bowl
against
this guy. How many times have we seen a quarterback throw for 40 plus touchdowns, projected to throw for close to 5,000 yards, possibly more if he continues to progress as he has, and miss the playoffs? This Bengals team is just the franchise itself is just wasting his career. And it takes skill to be this bad at building a team that 2 years ago, you were a Super Bowl contender. You were one of the best in the AFC and you screwed it up already while your quarterback is still playing the best football he's ever played in his career. And you're still trying to get him killed because your offensive line still sucks. We've already ranted about this Bengals team a lot, but the better that Joe Burrow plays, the more impressive it gets how bad this is getting. Yeah. Because and you can see how it's happening. As easy as they have finished 6-4, 4-6, they could have easily been 6-4 right now as well. And there's other games here that they only lost by one or two possessions that they could have easily won as well. So this is a really, really poorly run franchise. We could see a lot of star talent leave after this season, and it may not stop there. I mean, Joe Burrow, we've already seen a lot of quarterbacks leave their teams that drafted them. It's starting to become more of a normal thing. I would not be surprised if in a few years Joe Burrow says, screw this, I'm leaving and going to a better franchise that values me more. Because they paid him. They paid him. They haven't paid his best friend, Ja'Marr Chase.
They haven't paid T. Higgins either.
They alienated T. Higgins. And your best defensive player, Trey Hendrickson, has one foot out the door as well. This franchise is about to implode with Joe Burrow still on board. And it's criminal how much they are wasting his career. This is like, listen, I remember posting a clip on our podcast, like maybe weeks after we created it, about not having subcategories of goats. And what I meant when I mentioned Dan Marino, I called him the wasted career goat. We may have a contender for that now to actually challenge him, Dan Marino, because this guy is playing unbelievable football when he is healthy, despite having a terrible franchise to work with, a poorly run coaching staff, and a front office that gives the finger to all of your star talent except you. I mean, if he doesn't get injured before the end of his career and ruins it for himself, then this guy may end up being one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time to never win a Super Bowl, which is sad because this guy is not only one of the most talented quarterbacks in the league right now, but also one of the most likable. I can't really name many people who just straight up hate Joe Burrow as a person because he's just such a likable guy. Anybody who hates Joe Burrow only hates him because they're rivals in the AFC North, which is normal in the AFC. There's something weird about that division where like all of their fans just straight up hate each other. But still, that's besides the point. They're wasting the career of a quarterback who could be one of the greats, but they are really ruining it for him, and it sucks.
It does. It truly does.
And I was just going to say, the worst part is this isn't even like a freak accident, right? Like he goes down and is never the same, or you have like a wide receiver pull an Antonio Brown and just freak out. The downfall and seemingly impending implosion of the Bengals was entirely preventable. This is self-inflicted. And let's just say Adam's prediction comes true, and in the future, Joe Burrow demands a trade and says, I can't do this anymore. You have opened a wide Super Bowl window really fast, and then you shut it just as fast. If Joe Burrow did demand a trade, let's just say somehow over the offseason he demanded a trade, would you really blame? I mean, I obviously don't think he will, but would you blame him? Because no, it's like, it's not even just Burrow, like Adam mentioned. The Bengals are staring down a reality that this offseason they very well could lose Trey Hendrickson and T. Higgins.
Quick
and
fact
Ja'Marr
check.
Chase,
sorry, keep going.
I was just saying, and Ja'Marr Chase. There's a very real reality where you don't get him either. I wouldn't say it's the most likely outcome, but there is a very present danger where Joe Burrow is the only player worth a damn left on that team. And I just think he got a clean house. I don't care if the GM's the guy that brought all them in. I don't even remember his name, but chuck him into Lake Erie. Chuck Zach Taylor into Lake Erie. And I don't care if he's all on the up and up. tell your defensive coordinator Anarumo to pack his bags as well. This team needs a deep cleaning, because when you let this, when you let Zach Taylor and his boys, the organizational equivalent of mold, continue to fester, it's just going to ruin everything it touches. And considering the fact you finally have your guy in Joe Burrow, you cannot ruin him.
Quick fact check on the 40 touchdowns part. There's one other who missed the playoffs after throwing 40 or more touchdown passes. It was Drew Brees. It was Jesus. I hate fighting a cold, especially since I got it like 2 weeks ago. Drew Brees, 43 touchdowns to 19 interceptions, 5,100 yards, and a 7-9 record. He wound up finishing third in his division.
What was that, 2015?
2012. Oh. So there's another one.
19 interceptions isn't very pretty, though.
Yeah, but if you throw 42 touchdowns.
Oh, yeah. It's perfectly fine. It counteracts it at that point.
It's a little better than 2-1, yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, Bengals have completely shot themselves in the foot. They have a pretty weak schedule coming out, and really they can only afford maybe one loss. But at this point, you're looking to run the table if you're Cincinnati. And seeing the schedule come up, every single game is a very winnable game. Chargers, you face the Steelers twice. I think, if anything, Bengals and Steelers split. Cowboys, Titans, Browns, Broncos. I think those are a lot of very winnable games, but the Bengals also had a lot of winnable games in the first 3 weeks of the season that they lost. Granted, that was also the first 3 weeks, and the Bengals have been notorious for starting out slow. And Joe Burrow.
And why is that? No, seriously, why is that? I mean, I'm no offense, and I'm not blaming you. I'm just saying I'm sick and tired of them getting, well, it's the first 3 weeks, never good in the first 3 weeks. Well, have you considered maybe not taking that off? Because looking at it now, there's no reason you should have lost to New England week one. And yeah, look, I know about the weird call in Kansas City, but once again, you should never, you know, leave the game in the hands of the refs.
Shouldn't have lost that game.
You shouldn't have. The Commanders, I mean,
looking at how the Commanders,
you didn't
are,
know what they were going to be, looking at it in hindsight, but yeah, you get your first win to week four. That's still just shameful. At barest of minimums, you should have beat New England, but
this is still this is still a very winnable schedule down the stretch. And for everything that we have been saying, they could easily, very easily end up finishing, you know, 10-7, 11-6. And then this conversation, throw it all away. Because then at that point, it's like, okay, you figured it out you kind of figured it out. This is just a down year for the team in general. A great year from Joe Burrow, but kind of thrown away. And maybe you can build on that for a couple years down the road, and you can sell to your star talent, look, we're not that far off as much as we've taken a step back. But still, like, there's no excuse for what has been going on during the course of this season. At least last year, your star quarterback got hurt. But this year, he's been killing it, and you're just wasting it all the way.
Yeah. And on top of that, I mean, Joe Burrow post November, once November hits, is actually the best quarterback in the league by a way of statistics. But I don't know how much more that's really going to help the Bengals at this point. But you guys have any more last thoughts before we move on?
One last angle. Yeah. And this is just for the Ravens real quick. And we've already glazed over this Ravens team for quite a while. Like, literally all season, so I'll be brief. When was the last time, like, have we ever thought that Lamar Jackson would be the type of quarterback to throw for 5,000 yards?
No, not really.
40 touchdown passes?
Most people probably haven't, no.
Well, he's on pace to get close. So,
well, yeah, because now he actually has, like, a legitimate running back, you know? Because now Lamar Jackson, as much as everyone like to point and laugh and say, ha, you're a running back, Lamar literally had to be. He doesn't have to be now. And you know what? Good for him.
Yeah.
He's been a run first quarterback. And if this is what we see for the latter half of his career, then he may last a little bit longer than we thought he would, being a runner.
I will also say that all this also won't matter depending on how he does in the playoffs. No matter how he does, he'll always have that burden on him of not being able to perform in the playoffs, and the Ravens always panicking in the playoffs.
Yeah, but so did Peyton. But he had,
yeah,
every dog has its day. Maybe yeah. he'll break through at one point. We'll see how the Chiefs do. If the Chiefs aren't an obstacle this year, then I think the Ravens have a legit shot.
Yeah.
Like put the Bills against the Ravens in an AFC championship, and I do like the Ravens' chances.
Oh yeah.
We're gonna step aside for a quick break. When we come back, our game picks, including our Ruski game of the week. This is the Fumble Ruski podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6 or 7 spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
This is the Fumble Ruski podcast. Chris Kostich, CJ Medeiros, Adam Wright, as we go to our Ruski game of the week, and it seems that the Lions are on here seemingly every other week, but that just goes to show the caliber of the games that they're playing in. I mean, on top of the caliber of the games that they're playing in, the way that they're beating these teams as well is insane. But Lions-Texans, Texans still going to be without Nico Collins. He did get activated in terms of the practice window. Right off the bat, I mean, this Lions offense has been unstoppable, absolutely unstoppable. I think the Texans, if they play perfectly and their offense somehow finds the same spark that they've had, that they had the entirety of last season, that's the biggest thing with this Texans offense, is that it doesn't feel the same. This is definitely not the same firepower that they had last year. Doesn't feel like the same high-flying year that C.J. Stroud had. And the stats show it. Only 11 touchdowns to 4 interceptions. It's this Lions offense. Nobody can touch them. They're also getting Jameson Williams back this week, I'm pretty sure. Are they? Still now?
No.
Never mind. Scratch that. Regardless, with or without Jameson Williams, this Lions team is insane. They're on the road. They're 4-0 on the road. Texans are also 4-0 at home, but I'm taking the Lions here.
Listen, this might be a much more competitive game than we may think it'll be in hindsight. Just because I think CJ Stroud is still a pretty good quarterback. It's been a little rocky at times, but has there really been a time where they just got their shit rocked? There was that one game against the Vikings where they were just beating everybody early in the season. But I mean, other than that, that's pretty much it. I mean, there hasn't been a time where they've actually gotten destroyed. Even in that ugly game against the Jets, it was still a close game. So I think they'll hold their own, but the Lions are just an unbeatable team right now. Are they going to end up going all the way to win the Super Bowl? They were my pick. Who knows? But I don't think anyone can dispute right now. They're the team to beat in the NFL. They're extremely hard to beat, and I don't know who's going to beat them in any given Sunday. But I mean, this Lions team is loaded to the gills with talent on the offensive side of the ball. And they brought in Za'Darius Smith to plug in the hole that Aiden Hutchinson left. So that defense still has a chance to be a really good defense on the scoring end. And they have a chance to produce lots of turnovers. I don't think it's fully gelled yet, but I think as far as the ceiling goes, Super Bowl or bust now.
In this game, I'm not going to mince words. I have the Lions. And for the record, if you go through and you look at, before we know how these games turn out, you got to realize it's pretty slim pickings this week as far as games that could go for games of the week. But, I mean, it's the Lions. I think we're all unanimous here in choosing them. because Houston, look, we've done this to death. They just weren't passing the eye test like they were last year. But now it's gotten worse. And to be fair, this isn't entirely CJ Stroud's fault. Stephon Diggs done for the year. Who knows when you're getting Nico Collins back? You know, he'll come back eventually. He's supposed to be back this week, but that obviously did not happen. I mean, luckily they have Joe Mixon and the defense is solid, but it's just they don't have that same punch that they used to. Now their offensive, or at least their air show that they usually have, has been, to put it kindly, neutered. And then there's the Lions. I mean, why would you pick against them? They have probably the best running back duo in the league. Jared Goff is playing as well as ever. You got Amon-Ra, the defense, which, you know, Adam mentioned, hey, no more Aiden Hutchinson, but Za'Darius Smith is a solid replacement. And, you know, it's they're starting to come together. The defense is putting together some solid performances. So it's got to be the Lions. And the Lions are going to be an exciting team come February. But, low-key, you might have to pour one out for the Texans, because even though I fully expect them to make the playoffs, it's just – damn, what a shame about just how the wheels just came off. And once again, injuries, I've always said, are like the one opponent that you can't beat.
Give them time. Their defense has lived up to expectations, I would say. Their defense has been pretty good this year. The only thing that's been lackluster is their offense. And that's because most of this season, they haven't had everybody healthy. And they won't end up having everyone healthy this year, but that's only because they won't be without Stephon Diggs. If you give me Nico Collins, Tank Dell, and Dalton Schultz, if you take that team into the playoffs, at least have a somewhat high seed. Let's say you have the 2-3 seed. I think you have a really chance to make a deep playoff run. A really good chance to make a deep playoff run. If you have C.J. Stroud, who's already won a playoff game, and two targets, two number one wide receivers, who Stroud is already comfortable with, clearly him and Stephon Diggs were not on the same page. It would have taken time, but they still have enough once they get healthy. If they can just limp through this little period of time where they don't have Nico Collins and find a way to turn it on in December, then I still give them a shot. So all I'm going to say is just give it some time.
Another stat I'll throw out there for you guys is how the Texans have played against NFC North opponents this year. They're currently 1-2, and that one win being against the Bears, where they just absolutely smothered their O-line. They just made them look like a freaking youth football team. Other than that, losing 34-7 against the Vikings and then losing 24-22 to the Packers. They're averaging 14 points per game against NFC North opponents, and I'm not even going to calculate the points against. Now, I could also see this being a shootout because the Lions defense, I'm still having some questions on them, but who knows? Moving on to the Germany game. If the NFL was trying to find a way to make it so that there was one game that was going to be a stinker and that they were okay with nobody watching, it'd be this one. 9:30 in Germany. And quick little middle finger to the Germans out there along with that. But them Europeans are going to find a way to have some fun anyways. But Giants, when playing in Europe, are 3-0. That's really the only good thing I have to say about the Giants. And with that record, I'm going to have to go with the Giants. I was thinking about going Panthers. I think, if anything, Panthers cover. But I'm going to take the Giants because they all – another fun little stat for the Giants, positively about them. They lead the league in sacks. Who would have thought? But, yeah, what do you guys have for this one?
Yeah. What did the Germans ever do to deserve this game?
They know good and damn well what they did.
Well, they did something to deserve the Pats Colts game from last year.
It's funny how we're getting a trend here.
Yeah. All right. I have an idea. We should throw a bet on to see if this Giants Panthers game somehow is better than the Pats Colts game from last year.
It's too bad Frank Reich. The Pats Colts
game only end with like 13 points scored or some like ridiculously low number like that. Maybe like 16. Yeah.
If it was 13, I don't even remember.
Wait, wasn't it like 10-6 or something like that? Or like 10 to, like, I don't even think there was like 20 points scored total. Oh, Adam's looking it up. I can tell.
I'm looking it up right now too. 10-6 was the final score.
Well, well, well.
And it was the 50th regular season game outside of the United States.
I was so glad that the Patriots lost that game. And I may be one of the only, I'm sure I'm not the only one, but we'll get to the Patriots when we get to them. I'm taking the Giants because at least this team has a few things to be happy about. They have a new shiny wide receiver in Malik Nabers. It's funny how the Giants and rookie wide receivers out of LSU end up working out. And this guy is pretty damn good. And he makes Daniel Jones just look a little bit less bad than.
Oh, Adam, you cut out.
There's no way.
Never mind.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, but now it's through your computer. Yeah. Another big news, though, about the Panthers, they did sign Chuba Hubbard. Speaking of young players working out for teams, speaking of just in this game alone.
You know, I got to ask, why do they sign Chuba Hubbard if they drafted Jonathan Brooks? It doesn't make sense, man.
Chuba Hubbard's going off right now. That's why.
No. I have him in fantasy. I'm fully aware of Chuba Hubbard going off. I'm just saying that
he's fine, but what running back production grows on trees. So it just feels weird. But listen, the Giants, it's not just at wide receiver where I am starting to like them more and more, but their front seven I really like as well. They may have lost Kayvon Thibodeau for the season, but they still have Brian Burns. And they still have Dexter Lawrence, who is one of the finalists as of right now to be the defensive player of the year, low-key. And the only reason he isn't getting more publicity for what he's doing is because he's on the Giants. But, I mean, I've preached this before. When an interior defensive lineman is able to get into the backfield like Dexter Lawrence is, it is much more impactful to the game because – not only does it impair the quarterback's vision with him being right in your face, but he also has to throw off his back foot because he's literally right there. If you step anywhere forward, you're going to be running right into him. So it literally affects the mechanics of the quarterback throwing the football. And you'll see all of the best defenses in our league's history, in our league's recent history, the Rams with Aaron Donald, the Chiefs recently with Chris Jones, Justin Matabike with the Ravens. All of those defenses in recent years have been really good because they have an interior lineman who can get into the backfield. That's what the Giants have been doing this year. And their defense has overperformed so far this season. I wouldn't say it's a good defense, but it's been doing all right. And it's all because of their front seven. And that's more reason why I have the Carolina Panthers losing this game to the Giants, because there's really nothing to like about this Panthers defense. They just sold at the deadline, so they're only getting worse. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. They're not even in the tunnel.
Not that it matters. Is Bryce Young getting start again this week?
I believe so, yeah.
Nice.
All right. I think we've spent enough time on this game.
Yeah.
Did I even make my prediction? I'm fairly certain I didn't. But okay.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you said Giants.
Wait, what?
Did you say Giants? No,
I
did not.
I'm pretty sure I didn't even make a prediction. I just made a joke.
Oh. What's your prediction then, CJ?
I don't know why I'm leaning towards the Panthers. I just... And I'll tell you why. Daniel Jones. I don't care about Malik Nabers. I do not trust Daniel Jones at all. And And I just, Tyrone Tracy is looking more and more like a flash in the pan than anything. And I just, and I know the Giants, you know, have a good pass rush, but their running attack isn't, or their run defense isn't as great as I'd like it to be. Therefore, I say, give me the Panthers. Chuba Hubbard's going to have a big day on the ground, and there's a very real chance this game ends in less points than the Pats-Colts game.
It really is a real chance, and honestly, we could make that bet right now, over under 16.5. First game on the 1 o'clock slate, we're going to go with Pats-Bears. If there's any indication of how this game is going to go, just think of how the Bears-Texans game went. Shitty O-line, good defense, Bears defense, top 10 in defensive DVOA. Yeah, I'm going to go with the Bears.
The Patriots have stooped down to a level that they are a get-right game for the Chicago Bears. Just let that sink in. And I think they will, because Chicago's hosting this one, and the Bears have lost two in a row. Even when the Bears were playing well, I suggested you're bound to see some turbulence with a rookie quarterback in there, as well as he was playing earlier this year. I think he'll pick it up again, and he'll do it with a great opportunity against a Patriots defense that has been one of the worst I have seen for this franchise in years.
I will also say the Bears need this game badly, because the rest of their schedule is basically they're facing the entirety of the NFC North, because they have not had a divisional game yet, and their first one's coming up next week. Their only two non-divisional games the rest of the way are the 49ers and the Seahawks. So they need this game badly.
Yeah, I'm unfortunately, even as a Pats fan, I gotta go with the Bears. It's just the Patriots literally have one thing going for them, and that's Drake May. The defense just decimated by injuries. The offense just can't put it together. Got Alex Van Pelt, who had all that magic in Cleveland and just couldn't replicate it in New England. There's no reason to have any form of optimism for New England outside of Drake May. If you're a Pats fan like me, and much like Adam and Chris, all you want is Drake May to just look solid. But that being said, give me the Bears. Not that hard.
And not Drake May, currently the only quarterback in NFL history to have 700 passing yards, 6 passing touchdowns, 60% completion percentage, 200 rushing yards, and a rushing touchdown in his first 4 career starts.
That's why I voted for Drake May for president. I'm kidding.
Yeah. Bills Colts. Joe Flacco still getting the start, and their game last week was pitiful. You would think that the Colts would look better without Anthony Richardson, but really it almost looks like it was worse. Josh Allen playing at an MVP level. This is kind of an easy one for me. It's going to be the Bills. I'm picking the Bills.
Yeah, no Michael Pittman, and that's a big one for me. Joe Flacco has had a pretty good season in the games that he has started. but I just think it's going to be too much for the Colts. The Bills are starting to play really good football. They got another wide receiver in Amari Cooper. And they got Keon Coleman, who is looking more and more like the player that they wanted him to be. And I'm starting to think maybe we were wrong about him. This is obviously for the entire season, since Keon Coleman's actually out of this game. But overall, I think the Bills take this one. It'll be a comfortable margin.
It's got to be Buffalo. I mean, good Lord. The Colts don't even have Pittman. I mean, don't get me wrong. I like Jonathan Taylor. I like Josh Downs. The Colts are outclassed in nearly every conceivable way. It's that simple.
Yep. Broncos Chiefs. Chiefs 8-0. And I think that the Broncos could do it. I really do. I really do. I'm going to go with the Broncos. Broncos need a good game here. Took a bad loss last week. And truthfully, this Broncos defense plays very well against Patrick Mahomes, including the two games last year. This Broncos defense, we've been talking about how underrated it is the entire season. And I think if by some way or some miracle they're able to shut down D-Hop, which I very well think that Pat Surtain can do, Broncos are going to come away with a victory. If not, cover the spread.
Who's covering Travis Kelce?
Your mother.
I didn't expect that, but I should have. It's on me for not expecting.
I will say the Chiefs definitely looked a lot better last week. D-Hop got going. Travis Kelce came back up from the grave. The offense definitely took a big, big stride last week in their win against Tampa Bay, especially in very shitty conditions. But something about this game, I just have a feeling
that it's a division game.
And it's a division game. Division games are always toss up sometimes.
This is about a couple weeks ago when you said that they would be the Chiefs. I'm taking the Chiefs.
Oh my God, you did. Wait, did y'all ever bet on that? Because y'all were going to bet on that.
I think we said like $5 or something.
All right.
I haven't shaken on it, but I'll take.
Well, we went with the virtual. I thought we went virtual handshake.
I was there.
Did we? Was it a virtual handshake?
I have decided it was. This is revisionist history. I have.
All right, $10 says the Broncos win.
Oh, double or nothing.
Double or nothing. Let's go.
Let's do it. 20.
All right.
And y'all are Massachusetts witnesses.
We're in Massachusetts. Sports betting is legal now.
Yeah.
I'm taking the Chiefs. I think as good as the Broncos have it on defense, the Chiefs have it just as good. They have a really good defense as well. They have the best. They have the best pass rush. They have the best interior pass rushing game. Again, like I said last segment, there's something about those interior defensive linemen. When they can get into the backfield, they will wreck games for you, especially for rookie quarterbacks. And the Broncos may be coming off a tough loss, but the Chiefs are coming off 8 tough wins.
I will also,
because every game they have played in has been ugly.
I will mention,
winners are winners, and they're going to keep winning until they get punched in the mouth by one team, and that's going to be the Bills next week.
Yeah, I will mention that. So the Chiefs do have a top 10 pass rush, and it's top 10 in terms of when they're a top 10 team in pass rush success when they blitz, and the Broncos are a bottom 10 team in the league in terms of protecting against the blitz. So that's probably going to be the big point in the game of how the Broncos are going to be able to counter that. But CJ, your pick.
This is a trap game, but I still have to go with Denver, because even if Denver's up by one score in the fourth, the Chiefs are by hook or by crook are still going to win, because that's just kind of how they are. It seems like no lead is safe. And once again, I know it's a division game, but that loss last week really scares me, you know, because you saw what the Ravens did to them. The Ravens basically keel-hauled them on national TV. And I don't really have to think too hard. I think it's the Chiefs. However, I think Denver's going to make them sweat.
But at the same time, too, I think that that's a game that brings the Broncos back down to size, humbles them a little bit.
True.
And it brings them back to where they stand in the AFC, I guess. I mean, the Ravens are the cream of the crop right now. Obviously, the Chiefs are still the team to beat because they're back-to-back champs. So, yeah. I don't know.
Well, my Venmo is Adam-Wright-159. So,
all right, bud.
If any of you listening want to, you know, pay him to.
Falcons Saints. Now, I will say that there are reports coming out of New Orleans that that Darren Rizzi has already changed up the vibe in the locker room. The vibes are amazing right now with Darren Rizzi. the Rizzler himself, Darren Rizzi.
I'm going to put you in a wood chipper for that, Chris. Never say that again. Never say that again.
Proud Italian, Darren Rizzi. And like to the point where they've completely changed it up. It seems the players are 20 times happier that he's in charge than Dennis Allen. I forget who said it, but there was a guy on the Saints that said he is the definition of leader of men. That's Darren Rizzi. With that being said, I'm still going with the Falcons.
I thought I was going to have to challenge you on another take there.
Yeah.
Listen, as much as I love a good upset on an any given Sunday, Chris Olave out with a concussion. Raheed Shaheed, IR. So who do they have to throw to, even if there was a possibility of a comeback? There's no one out there. Give me the Falcons. The Falcons are now, they'll go 7-3. There's nothing I really think is exciting about the Falcons. Just like they have really good pass catchers, but they seem like exactly what a Kirk Cousins-led offense would be. They're an overall good team, a regular season team that will make the playoffs every now and then. But does anybody expect them to make the make a Super Bowl outside of Robert Shelley out there in Denver?
Shout out Robert Shelley, man.
Yeah. I will say as well.
A Super Bowl argument about Kirk Cousins. Never seen that before.
Hey, yeah. Hey man, look, Robert's got a dream. Just let him know. I mean, just let him be. Let him be.
You mentioned Chris Olave being hurt. Drake London also has been questionable this entire week with a hip injury. But reports have come out, especially from yesterday's practice, Thursday, depending on when you're listening to this, that suggested he looked comfortable running routes. So I think that we should be good to go to see Drake London play in this game.
Yeah, I got to go with the Falcons just because I don't think the head coach change is going to do much. And look, I'm going to quote Chris Kostich. Dennis Allen is a meme.
Yeah.
And I'm going to quote myself. He's AI generated. I mean, yeah, look, removing a coach can do wonders, but how many times have we seen teams where they're like, hey, good vibes, man. How often does that work? Looking at you, Antonio Pierce, Antonio Pierce, you know, wasn't he all about good vibes? Look what happened. Or what about Gerard Mayo? Yeah, you know, made the locker room fun again, and now no one's having fun. And who could forget? Oh my God. Remember Jeff Saturday, the players coach? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that flew over like a rock. So I don't know. This whole thing about, hey, yo, fun coaches. Nah, I just think that the Falcons are gonna.
It's not even that, like, suggesting that Darren Rizzi is a fun coach. It's more just like he's taken better charge.
He made it fun, but yeah, I just that does not work for me. It's like, yeah, I don't believe that. I mean, well, don't worry. Then they're all going to be smiles after the Falcons spank them. So wait, pause, nudity,
pause.
But I still got the Falcons.
Yeah, I could very much see the Saints pulling off an upset just based off of vibes alone. But I feel like that's just very unlikely. Niners Bucks. God, if Godwin and Mike Evans were healthy, I would just hammer the Bucks all day, honestly. Pause. Christian McCaffrey also, pretty sure the report is that he's supposed to play this week. Yeah. Give me the Niners on this one. Kate Otten props to the Bucs offensive coordinator. I can't think of what his name is, but props to him for still having this offense perform at such a high pace. Did I choose the Bucs? I thought I'd pick the Niners. Give me the Bucs! Give me the upset! Screw McCaffrey! McCaffrey's going for negative 0 yards. I forgot that I picked the Bucks, but I'll keep my word on it. You know, Cade Otton has led the league in receiving yards and receptions ever since Godwin and Mike Evans went out. Give me another big Cade Otton game. Give me a massive Baker Mayfield game.
Okay, then.
Bucks all day. Bucks by a million.
CJ, you've like hardly been in frame like the entire episode.
Sorry, I had to take my laptops on. I'm still getting used to it.
I'm rolling with the Bucs simply because the Niners have not looked right all season long. The Buccaneers have been very so-so this season, but a big part of that is because that's kind of what I expected out of them. I never saw them as more than a 9-8 team, and 9-8 teams do pull off upsets every now and then. And the 49ers have been a very popular team to pick as an upset game because I don't know what it is about teams that lose the Super Bowl, but they are almost never the same. And even when they are still a playoff team, they still look really, really shaky. I can point out that the 2018 Patriots, they lost the Super Bowl in 2017, and they still went back and won it all. But they still just looked so shaky throughout that season. They were losing a lot of games that they probably shouldn't have lost. And I think that's going to be the same thing with the 49ers. So the Niners, they may still make the playoffs. They may still figure things out. But that doesn't mean you're not going to lose to a lot of middle-class teams like this one. So give me the Bucs.
Yeah. I actually have to go with the Niners. This is going to be a game that I think is going to be a lot uglier than a lot of people are willing to admit. But at the same time, I don't know what to go. I was higher on the Bucks than Adam was, which is why this is shocking to me about how hard they've fallen off. I mean, even when they were healthy, they like we say with Houston, just wasn't passing the eye test. And overall, you know, no Evans, no Godwin, no winning. I got the Niners, man.
I mean, they brought all the players back from a team that went 9-8 and didn't really add to it. So that's my basic take on that. I mean, they were still a good team last year, but they're just a 9-8 team.
Next game on the list, Steelers, Commanders. The Commanders have been hot all season. Steelers have found their stride with Russell Wilson. This could have been a pretty good candidate for Rooski Game of the Week. Honestly, now thinking about it, I'd rather this than Lions-Texans, but we'll go with Lions-Texans, I guess.
Get You're it. Damn right we did.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, I will say, Commanders are going up against a top 10 DVOA team. Last time they did that was a couple of games ago against the Bears. And they only put up 19 against the Bears or whatever freaking score was. Either way, it was sub 20. 18 points, regardless. The Commanders really have not played great defenses all year, but this is going to be a real test of is the Commanders' offense not as good as we're making them out to be, or are the Steelers – is the Steelers' defense not as good as we're making him out to be? Decisions. Where's the totem pole going to lie? Where's the pendulum going to swing? I think the pendulum will swing to the Commander's side in this one. It's going to be a tight game. That's for sure. A very, very tight game. But I'm feeling confident in the Commanders.
This is going to be a very tight game. I agree. And I think it's going to be an ugly game. And I don't like the matchup for the Commanders here. The Commanders don't have a very good defense. It's just very, very mediocre at best.
They did get Marshawn Lattimore, but Lord knows if he's actually going to play this week.
And this is arguably the best defense that the Commanders have faced this season. And you have a rookie quarterback who's played very good football, suspiciously good football, too good. I think you know where I'm going with this. Every rookie goes through turbulence at some point. It's very rare that you have a quarterback who, as a rookie, just plays like a veteran the entire way through. Most of them, if not all of them, end up with some sort of struggle at some point. And we really haven't seen that from Jaden Daniels yet. And this feels like that type of game. Even if Daniels was in the league for a few years, this looks like a trap game. Just a quarterback who's overachieving, playing against a bad Commanders defense, a rookie quarterback going against the best defense that he's faced this year. That's a bad matchup for the Commanders. And as much as league perception has been that the Steelers are a mediocre team and they're better, they're not as good as their record looks, they're still a decent team. And with this matchup, I'm going the Steelers.
This is going to be such an ugly game. Y'all are not lying. Good God. These matchups so horribly. You have this fast, very agile Commanders offense versus the just tough, gritty, punch in the mouth, break all your bones Steelers defense. And then there's just the Commanders defense and the Steelers offense. It's going to make for a kind of game. So I do have to go with the Commanders, though, because I feel like Jaden Daniels just has more explosion or explosive potential than the Russell Wilson-led Steelers do. I feel like it's going to be a game, but maybe like a 20-17 affair. You know, nothing really crazy.
I will also say Mike Tomlin has almost a Bill Belichick-like record when it comes to facing rookie quarterbacks. 25-6 all time against rookie QBs. So I'll let that sit.
He's almost as good at beating rookie quarterbacks as he is at finishing 9-8.
Yeah, true. Last game in the 1 o'clock slot, Vikings Jaguars. No Trevor Lawrence. You're getting Mac Jones. Give me the Vikings. Vikings are getting hot again, and I don't see them losing in this.
The Vikings may not win. Rather, the Vikings may not lose this game. The Jaguars may not win, but I really want to, and I do believe that Mac Jones will have a good game. I am really rooting for Mac Jones to have a decent career outside of New England, because I really do believe he got shafted.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
In the one scenario where he actually had a decent situation around him, Josh McDaniels was working very well with Mac Jones. The Patriots' offensive line was the best that Mac Jones had ever worked with. It was basically fresh off the dynasty from Tom Brady's era. It was still pretty much there. And they had B-level pieces that Mac Jones had enough time to throw him to. He had, from there on out, it was all downhill. And most of it is the organization's fault. Am I saying that Jones doesn't deserve blame? 150%, no. He deserves some blame. And I don't believe he's the guy for New England. I still think he's a decent quarterback. And he can be a starting level quarterback in this league. And the fact that Trevor Lawrence has managed to survive this long with as mediocre as he's been and still get the bag, that tells me that Mac Jones can still do it. Then again, they're going to get absolutely destroyed by the Vikings here. So, speaking of quarterbacks who didn't work out with their original teams, who managed to do very well with the Vikings here, Sam Darnold has already done it. So why can't Mac Jones do it somewhere? It won't be this year. It'll be somewhere. He's going to find a home, and he's going to figure it out. I have faith in him. But give me the Vikings.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Vikings. And look, don't get me wrong, I am going to be very happy to see Patriots legend Mac Jones suit up again, but against a Brian Flores defense, really. And the already piddly Jaguars defense that's going to have to contend with the Justin Jeffersons and the Aaron Joneses and the Jordan Addisons of the world. Don't get me wrong. I know the Vikings have been cut down to size in recent weeks, but this is Jacksonville. They're a team that is just adrift, that, you know, that's wasting a number one overall pick, a team that has a head coach on borrowed time. Just there's literally no reason for Jacksonville to win this. So give me Minnesota, in the words of our president.
Well, for now, but
our lame duck president, you should say.
Yeah, basically.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get into the late afternoon slate and Monday Night Football. This is the Mumble Rooski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6 or 7 spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
This is the Fumble Rooski Podcast, powered by Pirate 18 Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting. Chris Gossage, Adam Wright, CJ Medeiros. Late afternoon slate. Start with the Chargers and the Titans. Only 3 games in this late afternoon slate, this obviously being one of them. Only good thing really is that the Will Levis is due to start again this week after the AC joint sprain. Potentially good.
That's subtraction by addition. That's
it's the Chargers.
We'll see. Yeah, I mean, the only good thing really is this Titans defense being pretty all right. But yeah, I'm not going Titans by any means. This is definitely a Chargers game. Give me the C words, as my friends would say.
Nice.
Yeah. There was a point where we would only call the Chargers the C words.
That feels like the only appropriate team that you should call them.
You would do, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, what are you saying, man?
Nothing of interest, but you know what is of interest is this C word team. And they are, let me tell you something about this Chargers team. Teams around the league should be modeling their franchise after what the Chargers have done this year. What they did, anybody who is pointing out that elite targets are important for winning Super Bowls, point him to this Chargers team. They no longer have Keenan Allen or Mike Williams, who are elite targets, number one and number two Super Bowl caliber targets. They exchanged that in their cap space for a solid offensive line and good coaching for your elite quarterback. And now, if they win this game, which I am picking the Chargers to win, they're going to be 6-3. And I didn't even see them being a 6-3 team. I thought they'd be okay. I thought they'd be making steps in the right direction. They may end up making the playoffs. And
what?
Steadily, this Chargers team is the most balanced that it's looked in the entire time that Justin Herbert has been with the Chargers in this entire era. And you can thank Jim Harbaugh and this offensive line for that. Now that Justin Herbert has a good environment to play in, which is why offensive line and coaching are more important than targets. And anybody also, here's another little tidbit of information. Anybody who says that elite targets are winning the Super Bowl all the time, point them to the Vikings' entire existence. Think about all of the targets that they have had. You can name a million. Chris Carter, Justin Jefferson, Stephon Diggs, Randy Moss. I was getting to that. Peterson, Dalvin Cook, TJ Hawkinson. But how many quarterbacks can you name? And how many Super Bowls can you name that they've won? Exactly. I rest my case. Give me the Chargers.
Chargers, because Well, Chris actually made a very good reason for the Chargers to win. Will Levis is starting. And look, the Chargers, they're just going to, they got, and I don't even care what high-end talent Tennessee may or may not have. The Chargers have coaching. I said Jim Harbaugh was going to be a good coach, and they're 6-3. So you got that, and you got Justin Herbert. That in and of itself trumps everything the Titans have. This is a no-brainer. Give me the Bolts.
Bolts, Bolts, Bolts. Eagles, Cowboys. Dak going to be out for the next few weeks. I could see the Cowboys sneaky covering in this game.
Division.
But, yeah, division, exactly. But this is Eagles all day. It's Cowboys are so banged up. This is a kind of like that 2020 season for them where just nothing went right. And, I mean, they have talent, but, I mean,
it's all hurt. Dak,
yeah, they're all hurt. Dak Prescott, granted, like, yeah, he's a all right quarterback, but and now he's out. But before he got hurt, he was playing at a Daniel Jones level. So it doesn't really make a difference. What do they got going in right now? Cooper, whatever his name is. Cooper Rush.
Even when Dak Prescott was healthy.
Cooper Rush, man. So inspirational.
Even when Dak Prescott was healthy, he was Kirk Cousins in a Cowboys uniform.
Is that what Amari Cooper said? Did he call him like Black Kirk Cousins?
He did say that, but I wasn't going to say it because that is the terrible thing to point out.
I'm just doing my job.
That was said, but we're not saying that. I'm just saying that he's in a Cowboys uniform because that is also true. Cooper Rush is a decent backup quarterback. If you look at the list of all of the backup quarterbacks in this league, Cooper Rush is probably the best one. And if you remember a few years ago, I believe it was 2022, he had to start for about 5 games, and they ended up winning most of them. They only lost one. And by the time Prescott was back, they were able to pick up right where they left off. Prescott was still winning games. They went 12-5. They made it to the playoffs, and they got their shit kicked in the postseason. But besides the point, still, give me the Eagles. This is a game that they are not winning.
Even if the Dallas Cowboys had Dak Prescott, I still would have chosen Philly. I have no idea how or why Dallas just decided to stop caring. Actually, I do know how, and I do know why. It's coaching with Mike McCarthy. But what a fall off. And don't get me wrong. I know Philly's coaching is bad, and they're literally run by a self-obsessed man-child who uses children as shields from the media. But still, Dallas, that's a defeated team out there. And now without Dak, they basically wish they could hit the fast forward button to the end of the year. Meanwhile, Philly, as much as I've criticized Nick Sirianni, don't look now, but Philly's playing better and they're getting interesting, especially when you got Saquon Barkley, who just can apparently backwards hurdle now. So yeah, once again, you don't really have to think too hard. Give me the Eagles.
We haven't talked enough about the Eagles, but
we really haven't. Like
they've been getting better as the season goes on, and it's like,
yeah,
he's not on borrowed time anymore, and the team's
really not. Sirianni magically screwed his head on right and became, I won't say normal, but tolerable.
He shaved his head off, and now the team's good.
And he also shut the hell up because kind of what he
needed to do. I mean, not really. He was still bitching at fans when they won by 7 against the Browns.
By Sirianni standards, yeah, that's good.
Also, Sirianni needs to remember, I don't care how tough he thinks he is, he's in Philly, and those fans will jump you whether or not you're the coach. So maybe he should. I want to lock him in a bar with those fans and see what happens. That'd be
Sirianni funny. Sirianni is perfect for Philly in all of the wrong ways possible, and it's not meant as a compliment.
Also, A.J. Brown, full participant in practice today. Dallas Goedert, full participant. And thank God A.J. Brown and Dallas Goedert are going to be active just for my own mental sanity, fantasy football reasons. Oh, all right. And that was that injury report literally just came out like 3 minutes ago, by the way.
I just saw it too. Yeah. Yeah. They have everybody. It's
they're fully healthy again. Jets Cardinals, last game in our late afternoon slate. Jets and Cardinals both coming off of big wins. Cardinals just mopping the floor with the Bears last week. The Jets in their last game ended up beating the Texans 21-13, a beaten up Texans team, I should add. But regardless, still a good win to kind of get in the right frame of mind. And for this Jets team, I mean, I'm glad that the only move they made was getting rid of Mike Williams, but I'm glad that they didn't make any other moves because there is no other moves to make. As Matt Ryan said, this is your team and you got to find a way to deal with your bullshit right now at this point. And I think the Jets are on the right track now. Kind of, not really. But I'm taking the Cardinals on this one. I like the Cardinals a lot. Something about the Cardinals in my gut just makes me feel like this is going to be a win. And the Jets have also played like shit on the road as well. So there's that.
Yeah.
Cardinals are taking this one. And I might have to admit it. I was wrong about the Cardinals. I did not think they would be anywhere close to playoff contention, but they're about to go 6-4. And Kyler Murray's kind of playing decent football. They still are having real issues with getting their number 4 overall pick involved in this offense, which is an atrocity.
Yep.
That's, and if you actually sit down and like watch the film too, I originally thought it was a Marvin Harrison thing, but good God, like this is actually coaching.
They don't know how to get him involved.
He's open and they're not throwing to him. Like he's getting open and they just, I don't know.
What like a, you get a fourth overall pick.
I mean, there's still a lot of season to go to get him more involved. I mean, he's getting open and they're seeing, I mean, you have to see, the coaches have to see that he's getting open. And at this point, you got to scheme the offense around him. If for some reason they're not already, they have to. They just have to. Moving on to the Monday night game, Dolphins, Rams. This isn't the greatest Monday night game in the world. There's definitely been better ones. There's definitely the case that it's going to end up being entertaining. Two really bad defenses going up against two pretty good offenses. Especially now that Tua is back. Dolphins offense is back to normal. Rams offense is back to normal when Puka Nacua isn't throwing punches at corners. Jeez.
Well,
I wanted to tear my hair out when Puka got ejected.
With Jalen really Ramsey there, then I don't know if that's happening.
Well, I'm talking all this shit to my buddy who I was playing this week in fantasy. And I shit you not, with it, like Puka Nacua and A.J. Brown both take themselves out of the game. Puka gets ejected. A.J. Brown gets hurt. And obviously Puka doesn't return. A.J. Brown doesn't return. And my life was starting to fall apart within 5 minutes. Karma got the best of me last week.
Understandable.
Yeah. But with that being said, I'm going to go with the Rams. I'm going to go with the Rams.
I'm going to take the Dolphins because they haven't really had that game yet where they just exploded in the way that we know that they can potentially do. And I think that game is going to happen here. This has the makings of a game script that would favor a vertical Dolphins offense where both teams have bad defense but really good offenses. They're both going to go back and forth. This is the type of game that Miami thrives in. When you have Tua, who has the ability to get the ball to Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle, I think that's the type of game where the Rams will be at a disadvantage on, because Miami specializes in just going all offense, no defense.
I think this is going to be a really fun game. I expect this to be like a shootout. And if you have Puka or Cooper Kupp or Achan or Hill or Waddle in fantasy, God willing, you should have a good week. but or even like Kyron Williams, one of those guys. But I have to go with Miami just because I feel like the Rams are going to be stuck playing the Dolphins game the Dolphins way, where they're just going to be running up the score. Defense is an afterthought. You're going to have to keep pace. That's what it is. It's honestly not sustainable. I'm not suggesting the Dolphins are good. It's just the Rams are so top heavy. You know, they're like two or three players away from being like a bottom three team in the league. And their defense is almost non-existent, especially that backfield.
Sorry, if you just saw me pounding my fist in my forehead, that wasn't because of what CJ was saying. Brian Robinson.
Although it does happen often.
Brian Robinson Jr. just got ruled out for the Washington game.
Does that hurt you in fantasy, I assume, Chris?
Yeah. And it sucks too because he's on another fantasy team of mine. And I had to go call a Holy Cross game this past Sunday, and he gets ruled out at the last second. I don't see it because we're doing pre-recorded opens. Jesus Christ.
I wasn't laughing at you. It was just that I...
No, I didn't even notice you were laughing in general. Fuck me. Just what the fuck?
Pause.
Yeah. I will also say one more thing about the Dolphins-Rams game. Dolphins don't perform well against teams 500 or above.
That is true.
McCain. Well, I wouldn't say don't perform well.
They don't win. But
in terms of the win-loss column, it doesn't look good for them.
Yeah, when you look back at that low-key, the one thing I will say against Miami is that McDaniel is very fraudulent. Like, he does not play. He does not beat those above 500 teams. But, hey, maybe that changes this week. I mean, I know it hasn't changed at all this year, but, hey, maybe. Just maybe.
Yeah. But, yeah, that is all the games that we have for – that is all of Week 10 right there. In and out. The only teams on the bye this week that we didn't talk about: Browns, Packers, Raiders, Seahawks. All of them have the Week 10 bye. But yeah, any other last thoughts before we close out, boys?
I could see Todd Bowles being fired at the end of the year. That's pretty much it. Because we were talking about the Bucks and like what's going on with them. Todd Bowles might be my sleeper pick to get canned this offseason.
I would give him one more year, to be honest.
If not for Derrick Henry, the offensive player of the year race would be extremely close. There's two players in mind, and I think you both know which players those are. Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson are having some of the best seasons that I've seen from those two. And if not for Derrick Henry, I mean, look at what Jamar Chase is doing. It's insane.
By Sam Darnold, of all people.
I meant to say this when we're talking about the Ravens-Bengals game. If the Bengals were going to give him a contract extension and just throw the bag at him, it should have been before they left the locker room after the game.
I mean, they're going to have to pay him a ton of money because you can clearly tell he is motivated by that contract situation.
Yeah.
And he's not going, and he's not going to, you should not expect a hometown discount from him. He is pissed off at them.
Oh yeah. Also, Ravens star Kyle Hamilton's ankle came out as positive, as could be hoped, source said. The positive that's good, not the positive that's bad, of course. Excellent news moving forward for Kyle Hamilton, who suffered the non-contact ankle injury. If anything, maybe just like mild ankle sprain, I don't know.
Hopefully.
But, yeah. But that'll do it.
Will Anderson out.
Oh, that's a big one for
Lions. Well, we all picked the Lions, so.
Yeah, unfortunately, all these injuries are now going to be coming right at the end of the show, and as we're ending the show now, too, because none of them really came up during, besides the Eagles injury report. But that'll do it for us for another Friday edition of the Fumble Rooski podcast. We thank you for listening. New episode coming out on Tuesday at 7:30, and of course, Fridays at 5. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. And all of our episodes are available on Spotify, Spreaker, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Google Podcast, and so much more, which means anywhere that you can listen to a podcast, we're on it. Also, be sure to follow our Instagram, FumbleRooski_podcast, and our TikTok, FumbleRooskiPod, to keep up with our podcast and the latest coverage on the NFL. Otherwise, for myself, Chris Kostich, Adam Wright, CJ Medeiros, and our co-host that's not here, Justin Tucker, we say so long. We'll see you on Tuesday. Over and out.